the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so very much for your saving grace, for your mercy and love to us. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful portion of scripture that we've read this morning, this exciting time that was taking place there in the book of Acts. And we just pray, oh God, that it might come again, that we might sense your nearness and your presence with us, and that we might truly see days of refreshing, Lord. We need it so much. We pray for our nation. We pray for our people, for the church around the world, Lord, you know. We need a refreshing. We need a revival. We need strengthening. I pray that you'll help us with that. And Lord, guide us and lead us in everything that we do. We do pray for those who are going through difficult times right now. I pray that you'll continue to heal those who are improving somewhat. Pray that they might get better and overcome the afflictions that they may have. We pray especially for little Jeffrey as he's in the hospital and has to have this lump removed. We just pray that it will all work out the best and that he will soon be home again. We pray also for Ethan as he has his kidney stones removed tomorrow, I guess. Pray that you will undertake for him. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us and bless your word to our hearts today and encourage us and strengthen us. And may we love you and serve you in the way that we should. Bless the missionaries today, Father. We just pray for each one of our missionaries that we try to help support. Pray that you will just meet their needs in every way. We think especially of Peter and Lydia. She's just returned to Greece. Pray your blessings upon them and that you will meet their needs in the work there in Athens and all the work that they are doing. And we pray, Father, for all of our other missionaries, too. We just thank you for their desire to reach people with the gospel and pray that they might see souls come to Christ. May your holy will be done. Lead and help us to be good witnesses for you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Start at 6 to 6. And so here they were going up to the temple. Notice this. The temple to pray. And carrying on this ministry. And also it gave them an opportunity to share the gospel with other people, right? This is where people were going. And so they went where there was a group and were able to minister to them. And as they were going into the temple, they saw this man that was sitting there. A man, it says, lame from his mother's womb. Someone who had never been able to walk from the time he was born. It doesn't say how old he is. I think I read somewhere he was above 40 years. I could be wrong on that. But anyway, he's always been in this condition. And here they see him there, and he's asking them for an alms. This is how he made a living, you know. There wasn't anything he could do, and he couldn't walk, so he depended on other people. Someone must have brought him there and put him in front of the temple gate. It says this was the gate called Beautiful. You can imagine how lovely it must have been. God told the people to make the temple very beautiful. All of the equipment that they had there, and the beauty of the gold and silver and other things. And here we find him at the gate of the temple, asking alms to whoever would be willing to give him something, depending on other people. So it's a helpless person, isn't it? Someone who just cannot do anything for himself. In to the temple, and he asked them to, could you please give me something, you know? I need you to help me, please. And here, Peter looked at him, he said, look at us. And this man, of course, he's excited. He thinks, I'm going to get something out of this, right? Maybe they'll give me a dollar or two, you know, or whatever they had back then. But anyhow, here, Peter says the first words out of his mouth. What do you think? Silver and gold have I none. Now, that would be a disappointment, wouldn't it? Think of this man. Here he is looking for some money, and they said, oh, I don't have any money. I'm as bad off as you are. But such as I have, give I thee. What in the world is he going to give him? Huh? Doesn't have any money. So he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Wow. Boy. What's he given to him? He's given him life. Huh? A possibility of living on his own. A possibility of getting around by himself. And he took him by... Did I do that? I guess I did. I hit my Bible and it sounded off, you know, anyway. Okay. Anyhow, we find here that... He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and it says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was strong and able to stand for the first time in his life. And they help him up, and he sees that he has a whole new life. Notice verse 8. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Whoo! Here he is, a whole new outlook on life. He has something completely new. You know, thinking about that, I know I've read some of these. They compare this man to a person who's unsaved, right? He's hopeless. He's helpless. He can't do anything until he receives the Lord as his Savior, and then he has salvation, and it brings joy and peace to his heart. This is in a physical way. We see a picture here of a person coming to Christ. You remember when you came to Christ? Mm-hmm. Did it bring joy and peace to your heart? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Huh? We still have that joy and peace in our hearts today? Amen. Yes. Amen, because Jesus has changed our life and made us new. This man, from this time on, was able to go on his own. He could walk, he could talk. Well, he could talk anyway. But anyway, he could walk and leap and praise God. See, he gave God all the glory for what he did here. And the other people saw him walking and praising God. And they looked at him and they said, hey, isn't that Joe that sat out there by the temple gate, couldn't walk, always asking for money. Look at him. There he goes, leaping and praising the Lord. Yes, that's him. And they knew that it was he who sat at the gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. How in the world is he able to do this? He's never walked at all. And now all of a sudden, here we find a certain man and how he was changed and set free. How did it happen? Peter said, don't look at me. I didn't do it. I said it was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is very active. He is able to touch and to heal. He is able to do whatever we need for him to do. Here we find this man with new enthusiasm and joy and praising God. See, God gets all the glory. And everybody's wondering. And it says, as the lame man, he held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together. And they said, what in the world is going on here? And Peter has the opportunity to bring a sermon again, right? He had already preached on the day of Pentecost and seen great results. And here, once again, he has this wonderful opportunity. And he addresses these people, you men of Israel. Why are you so surprised at this? Why marvel you? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? He says, it's not us. It's not us. Who did it? Notice, he points it out very clearly and gives God all the glory. He says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, Jesus. Some versions say his servant, Jesus. Jesus was his servant, yes. He's also his son, child of God, the son of God, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Oh, here. What's Peter saying here? My goodness, he's giving them the blame for what happened. Notice. He doesn't mince words at all. He says, it's your fault that he died. You're the one that put him on the cross. Pilate was going to set him free, you remember? Pilate said, I find no fault in this man, right? He found him innocent. He did not do anything that was worthy of death. And yet they continued on. If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. He says he's the king, right? And Pilate caved in and allowed them to take him and to crucify him. But behind all that, this was God's plan to begin with, wasn't it? Jesus went to the cross to die in our place, to take our sins upon himself, that we might have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? It certainly is. And we see here that you denied him. You denied the Holy One and the Just. Now, who is saying this? Did you notice? Who's the preacher here? Peter. He says, you denied the Holy One and Just. What about Peter? You remember what he did? Three times? Oh, I don't know him. No. I don't know who this is. It's not me. And now he says, you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Can you think of that? The irony of this? Jesus, the perfect, innocent person died in the place of this murderer. Barabbas, the one who had instigated a rebellion against the government and who had killed people and had done all kinds of crimes, a murderer. Jesus died for the murderer. Huh? And he died for everyone else too, didn't he? He died for me, he died for you. Right? He paid the price. And so here we have Peter is driving home these points. He says, you demanded Christ's death when Pilate had decided to release him. You disowned the Holy One, the Just One, demanded the release of a murderer, and you killed the Prince of Life. But God raised him from the dead, you know? You know, the wonderful thing is, God is going to prevail. He is going to win no matter what. Amen. No matter what we do, he's going to be on top of things. And here, it's going to work out for his glory and for his namesake. You killed the Prince of Life. Jesus is the one who brought life to this whole world. He created the world and everything in it. He made us in his image. And now he's dead. You remember the disciples, when Jesus died, they were downcast and didn't know what to do. They thought, well, it's all over, you know. But then Jesus appeared and showed them that he was very, very much alive. The Prince of Life is still alive. And he's raised from the dead. He says, whereof we are witnesses. Now, this is the message that the apostles and other preachers of that day took with them wherever they went. Jesus Christ is alive, right? Yes, he died, but he arose again. So we should be witnesses of the same thing. Here we are in 2024, right? But Jesus Christ is still alive. Huh? He is. And he said he's going to come again. And we are witnesses of him. And it says, he's the one who has done the work here. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You see? Jesus works in response to faith. Now here, whose faith was it, by the way? The man didn't know anything. He didn't even know who they were, right? Huh? But Peter, apparently, had faith to believe that Jesus was going to do what he said. And he said, in faith in his name, the name of Jesus, has made this man strong. He answers prayer when we pray in Jesus' name, right? It's whatever we do, we're doing it through him. He is our intercessor. We talked about that not too long ago. Jesus Christ is our intercessor at the right hand of the Father. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And he hears and answers our prayers. So here it says, through faith in him, he has this perfect soundness. And then Peter gives him the invitation, you see. He's already criticized them here for being the murderers that they were in killing Jesus. But then he says, but I know you did it through ignorance, just like your leaders did. So you need to what? Repent. Repent and be converted. See? That's what we need to do. You know, we are living in this world as sinners, rebelling against God, going the wrong way. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus and repent of our sins and realize that we cannot make it by ourselves, right? No way. You know that. Each one of us here knows that. But we need to be converted. There's a change. You know, we ask ourselves so often, why do people do what they do? Why is our country in such a mess? Well, it's because people are going their own way. They're doing what they want to do, and they are following the lead of the devil instead of the Lord, right? I mean, and you see the what's happening all around us, and it's sad to think that everything is going down the tube, as we say, right? Seems that way. And yet, Jesus Christ is still alive. And he still has a plan, right? So we don't need to despair. We don't need to turn aside and say, oh, well, woe is me, I am undone, right? No. No, he says we need to repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Isn't it wonderful to know that God doesn't hold anything against you? Huh? There's no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? If we're in him, then we don't have to worry about it. Our sins have been blotted out. Hmm? Gone, gone, gone. My sins are gone. Huh? Praise the Lord. It says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you. Jesus is coming again. Now we know from the epistles of Paul, Jesus is coming back to take his people with him first, right? We call that the rapture of the church. And that's what we're waiting for right now. And then he's going to come back and rule and reign on the earth over Israel and over the whole world. And it says he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He shall send Jesus Christ. God the Father is going to send him again. And it says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. It's all going to come to a head. And God is going to be glorified. Satan is going to be put into the bottomless pit. And Jesus is coming to rule and to reign. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. And we find here that he's going to help us in this way. So, it says that this is what the holy prophets have said all the way through the Old Testament from the time of creation. Notice it says, it quotes Moses here. It says, for Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. So Jesus came as a prophet, prophet of God. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So when Jesus came preaching the word of God, it says, accept what he says. Moses said that. Moses, of course, was the greatest of the, I guess, prophets of old, where the Jewish people look to especially, and here Peter is preaching to Israel, and he's saying, you know, even Moses said, you listen to what Jesus has to say. That's what he's saying. Huh? And he says, for Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear of all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear of that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Just like in the Old Testament, we read how the others who rebelled against Moses were destroyed. So it is, those who refuse to accept Jesus will have the same fate. Not utter destruction, they'll live on, but in a place of torment, and certainly will not be pleasant. Every soul who will not hear, yea, all the prophets from Samuel, those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise told of these days. You are the children of the prophets. He said, you know. That's like us, we. Everyone in here this morning is very familiar with everything I'm saying here this morning, right? You know. You've read the Bible. You know exactly what it says and all of that. But he says it doesn't do any good unless we put it into practice, right? Put it into our lives, follow him, and allow him to lead us. All the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days, the days that Peter was living in. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Yeah. He's talking about the seed of Abraham. Who is that? It is Jesus. He's the one who has blessed everyone in the whole world, right? To one extent or another. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, here it is, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So Jesus is turning us away from sin, right? If we follow him, he says, follow me. Walk in the light. Don't walk in the darkness. He'll turn us away from our sins and our iniquities and the consequences of it and give us life, joy, and peace. Okay, well then we see the ending of this, the mixed response that Peter got to his message. And for chapter 4, it says, as they spoke, there's an entourage of people that came. The priests, captain of the temple, Sadducees, all of them came now. Notice that, being grieved. They were grieved that Peter was teaching the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in prison, right? And locked them up. He said, we can't have you preaching this Jesus and talking about the resurrection. You know, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So, therefore, you weren't supposed to talk about it. But Peter, he said, it's true. I'm going to do it. I'm going to preach the gospel no matter what. It doesn't matter what you say. We're going to preach the truth of God's word. And that's the only thing that we can do. And we find here that these people were grieved. But then in verse 4, it says, many of them who heard the word believed. You see, there it is. They believed. They put their faith and trust in Christ. And the number of the men was about 5,000. So it's always kind of a mystery to wonder how a few people can cause so much trouble. And others, you know, these are the leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all of the other seas, you know, causing all kinds of problems. And yet, through it all, 5,000 people trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. So God's going to have his way. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter who wins the election. It doesn't matter. It's going to work out. Jesus Christ is Lord, you know, and we're going to worship him and serve him no matter what. Peter says, accept him, believe in him, follow him, and he will lead us in the right direction. Father, thank you so much for your word to our hearts this morning. I just pray that you will speak to us in a very definite way, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful power of God in this man's life that we read about. We thank you for the power of God working in our lives in one way or another. Thank you for answering our prayers and helping us from day to day. And thank you, Lord, to know that you are delivering us from all of our iniquities. Help us to walk in fellowship with you and to do your will in all things. May our Lord Jesus Christ be praised and glorified. We pray in his name. Amen.